This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Sometimes a hero that saves lives doesn't always get the recognition it deserves, especially with today's advent of technology. PIES, for example. Not the food, but PIES stands for the Platform Intrusion Emergency Stop. It's a system that immediately halts an approaching train upon detecting an object on the track. Now you may think, just how many people would accidentally fall on a train track? Well, you'd be surprised. Just last year, there was a pregnant woman who fell onto the LRT track. But thankfully, PIES was there to rescue her. To talk about this in depth is...
Hi Jeff, Lian here from AZTI Technology. So ASTI, actually the full name for ASTI is Alpha Zycon Technology International, and I'm the CEO of the company. And what we do is we are actually the developer and owner of the patented PIES system. PIES actually stands for Platform Intrusion Emergency Stop System.
All right, which is our topic for today. And we're talking about how it's going to save lives or saving lives already. Sure. But perhaps I think a lot of people would want to also know, because, you know, even though the technology is saving lives and have saved numerous lives, not many people actually know who actually created this and what's the background of this company. So perhaps you can start with that how did ASTI all came about? Okay.
So PIES system is implemented since 1998 in Malaysia in the Kelana Jaya railway line. That line was actually built by Bombardier. They were the main contractor that built the line, and they went operational in 1998. And if you look at, if you ever taken a LRT in Kelana Jaya line, you see this in the above ground platforms. You see actually there's a platform safety system installed on the tracks. If you look at it, if you look on the tracks, you see a red color sort of like a brick thing on top of the platform on the tracks itself.
It's like a Lego.
Yeah, that's right.
Placement,
yes, correct. And that's our safety system that's installed. And what it does is actually communicates with the train control system and the signaling system to actually stop the train from the oncoming train onto the platform, to stop the train from having an accident with the passenger if a passenger actually falls onto the track. So it actually saves the life of the passenger from the oncoming train. And why it's required is because in our Kelana Jaya line, it's actually a driverless system. So we become the eyes of the driver of the train, actually. So we replace the driver, actually. So that's how the system works. Yeah.
And it sounds like it's something that, you know, would definitely be in place in all kind of, you know, tracks, because if it's a driverless train, then, you know, you would want to have some safety requirements. And it just sounds really easy, right? It's in a way, it's a kind of like a module that you put on top of the track, and if something, you know, falls onto it, it stops the train. Yeah. But it's actually very complicated.
Yeah, of course. First of all, you can't stop the train as and when you like it. You know, what if let's say something light drops, you drop a bag on the track, you can't expect the train to stop the train service just because you drop a bag, right? So, of course, there's a weightage there, you know, and we did the calculation. The weightage is 7 kilograms. If something 7 kilometers drops on the track, and the train will be, the system will actually inform the oncoming train that something on the track, and that's how it does. And of course, it's not as simple as just stopping the train, you know, because you have a lot of system in place to communicate with the signaling system, and that's how it works. Yeah.
And so when something drops on track, what then happens? So how does it trigger? You know, does that thing then sort of realize, is there a sensor, and then it is there a cable that then sends? How does this whole thing work?
Yeah, actually there's a sensor and a cable, and there's a weight system there. So once it drops, it will actually bend the cable, which is our patented blue core cable, and it actually cuts off the electricity, and then it triggers off an emergency stop plunger on the train itself, and the train will just basically know that something 7 kilograms and above has fallen, and they will make a decision whether to stop or not based on the train control system. The decision is based on how far the train is from the track. So if it's really far, they may not stop. But if it's quite near, they will stop. So that's how it works.
So even if the train is not approaching the station yet that has this, you know, emergency, it actually is notified and it has time to make a decision whether, you know, is that's there right. do I need to stop?
Yes, that's right. And all these decisions are actually done in milliseconds.
Which is the whole idea in a way, because you know, this is if, you know, if unfortunately someone actually falls onto the track, you want it to stop in a space of a millisecond.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So how did this all sort of came about? Because you know, like you mentioned, 1996 is when the, you know, implementation put on the Kelana-Jaya LRT lines. But you even had history before the Kelana-Jaya LRT lines as well.
Yes, the first one was implemented in 1985 in Vancouver SkyTrain, because they in the 80s that's when they started driverless trains. In and Canada, as you know, is our origination is from Canada. You know, as you know, Canada is one of the countries in forefront of actually railway technologies. You know, they have all the large signaling companies there. They have Bombardier, they have Thales, you know, they all come from Canada. So they have a lot of technology built for railway systems in Canada, and we actually originate from Canada.
And what made you then bring it down here to Malaysia? Was it the LRT specifically itself, and how did that conversation happen?
Yeah, actually we was brought here because of Bombardier. Bombardier were the contractors for the Kelana-Jaya line, and they needed to bring a platform safety system to implement in that Kelana-Jaya line, because it was a driverless train, and they brought in this technology into Malaysia.
Mm. And is this something that will have to be built while the track is being built, or is this you know, like an add-on, like a plug-in that you could then, you know, do it on a much later phase?
Okay, good question. We can do it either during the construction of the track or after. For example, in the Kelana-Jaya line, we actually did it during the construction, but now in Ampang line, our customer here was very happy with the system functioning in Kelana-Jaya line, because it saved some lives before this and it's working 99.99% of the time, you know, with very little maintenance costs. So they decided to implement in Ampang line as well. Ampang line is a live track, so we can implement live track, but of course it's a lot more complicated, because as you know, live track we only can they only stop operations a couple hours a day. So the implementation has to be done every day within 4 hours.
Wow, okay. And you mentioned 99.99%. Yeah. You still have that 0.01%, which is...
Because as in all mechanical and electrical system, we never say 100%.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. So there's always that 0.001% that something could go wrong. You see.
So, but so far, it's always been, you know, working when it needed to work. There were a couple of cases earlier this year, and I think last year as well, where unfortunately an individual fell onto the track. And then the systems triggered and it started working. Perhaps you can explain a little, because you would have probably been notified about, you know, your system has been triggered, and like, you know, this is the first case in a way.
Yeah, actually there are many cases, but there's a few cases that are made known to the press in the news that came out in the news. So the first case was quite long ago. I think that was like 10 years ago, when a person tried to commit suicide and jump on the track, and then it triggered the system and stopped the train. That's the first case that's reported. But of course, there are many cases that's not reported, right? Mm. And then the second case that was reported also was last year, when a pregnant lady fell on the track and it stopped the train. So as far as we know from our customer, so far we have zero fatalities. From in the last 30 years track record that we have, there's zero fatalities. Yeah. So,
how do you build that kind of you know, trust and confidence to your, you know, partners and your manufacturer clients and stuff? Because all it takes is just for, you know, that 0.001 percentage of it to happen during the time when you don't want it to happen. And how do you ensure that, you know what, our systems will work when it needs to?
Okay, our system actually has technical wise, it has actually is actually talking to each other every single second, you know, every millisecond. So we have a data analytics on that. That's one. But the more important thing is that it's been around for 30 years and there's zero fatalities. I think that speaks for itself.
Not just in Malaysia, but in the countries that you work with, right?
Yeah.
And then they are Canada, Malaysia.
There's one in LA as well. Wow, so, okay. So these are the countries that has this system. Yeah.
And you mentioned that there's very minimal maintenance to be done on the PI system. Yep. And so far, if I'm not mistaken, there has not been any major repairs to your PI system. So, besides the normal wear and tear, like how is this even possible for something that's been around for very long?
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be actually, that's very low maintenance cost.
Yeah, the reason for that is because our system is what we call a passive system. So a passive system is actually a system that is sitting there listening for something to trigger. It happens, so nothing moves. Every part is on standby. So a passive system obviously requires very little maintenance. The alternative system that can be used for platform safety is what we call the APG or platform APG, we call it automated platform gates or platform screen door. That's what it's known. So those are what we call active system. So those systems are actually a system where it's like if you look at the new MRT lines, they have these APGs above ground, and even the client line has a platform screen door below ground. But I'll explain to you what's the difference. So below ground, of course, we have to use the platform screen door for two reasons. One is because of climate control. Secondly, is because the below ground is a tunnel. So that's what we call a bullet effect when the train comes in. So when the train comes in, it sucks in the air and goes out, it pushes out the air. So you need a barrier in front to actually stop the airflow. And that serves two things as a safety system for the underground tunnels. Whereas above ground, you don't have that bullet effect. So you can use either the APG, which is the automated platform gate, or our system. But of course, the difference is this: one is active, one is a passive system. So active system means the gates, they open and close every single time the train comes, and it that does a maybe few hundred to a thousand cycles a day. And of course, then with active system, as all mechanical parts, they're bound for failure because too many parts are moving at the every day, and of course then the cost of repairing maintenance, that is extremely high.
All right, I'm speaking to Lian Wah Seng. He's the CEO of Azti, and we're talking about PIES, the platform intrusion emergency stop, and we'll continue our chat in just a moment. BFM 89.9,
business, finance and music. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk, and today I'm speaking to Lian Wah Seng. He's the CEO of Azti, talking about the Platform Intrusion Emergency Stop, or PIES, system. It saves lives, so if anyone were to fall onto a train track, this is the system that will trigger the emergency stop for the train within milliseconds. It has saved lives in the number of years it has been active here in Malaysia. Wah Seng, how much does a passive system like this cost?
Well, a passive system, depending on number of stations. Let's say you compare passive and active system. It all depends on number of station, but a ballpark number would be our passive system would be at least 35% to 40% cheaper in terms of capital expenditure, but in terms of maintenance cost, it's about 90% cheaper.
So it's still relatively cheaper than an active system.
Well, it's actually substantially cheaper.
Substantially cheaper than an active system.
Yeah, of course. I think it could cost anywhere. The difference in cost and price, if you talk about both active and passive system, we could save about, for the operator, they could save easily in hundreds of million for the life cycle of the product. Yeah.
And so right now, currently, how many, how many stations does actually have your PIES system in place? It's mostly the LRTs?
Okay, yes. For Malaysia, let's talk about live stations. We have about 31 stations in Kelana Jaya Line implemented, and another 36 stations being implemented for Ampang Line. And of course, LR3 is also asking us to implement for LR3, which is 20 stations. For the platform screen door, a live one before the MRT ones, they had about five stations in LRT, Kelana Jaya Line, that has their platform screen door. But I think now they're all due for replacement after 20 years.
Mm.
Whereas our system does not need to be replaced even after 20 years.
Mm. And what about the MRTs? You mentioned they are using a different type of system. Why would one choose one over the other? What's the reasoning behind this?
Well, sometimes it all depends on the owner and operator of the line. If they think that the ridership is high and they need more a system that allows them to have crowd control and all that. They may go for the automated platform gate system, which is the other system in MRT. So, like for example, in some countries, like our neighboring countries, like Hong Kong, Singapore, they typically go for the gate system. And why they do that is, of course, because we know their ridership is 3 to 5 million passengers per day.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And here in Malaysia, what are our numbers like?
Our numbers is slightly more than 500,000 for LRT. And I think for MRT, it's maybe about 150,000.
So we have a long way to go before we even get to the, 2-3 million passengers per day, like what Hong Kong is doing.
Yeah, of course. I think there's a long way, maybe 20 years to get there.
And I guess that's where the reasoning why some systems would work better in some countries and some would work in better in different countries.
Yes, then. That's right. It all depends on the cost efficiency and of course, there's the balance that the operator have to determine between the cost versus the benefits of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've also now started talking to Indonesia, the Road Transport Authority in Indonesia as well. How did that conversation combined, what are you doing in Indonesia?
Yeah, we actually presented our product to the Ministry of Transport in Indonesia and they were very happy with the system and they thought this is a good alternative to the gate system because the cost is a lot lower and also because their ridership is also really low at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they think that, okay, let's put this in place first. Maybe when the ridership reaches amount which they think is cost justifiable, then they will implement the gate system. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the transportation sector, especially here in Malaysia? There's a lot of talks, especially with, I think earlier, last year where, we were talking about building a high-speed railway network to Singapore and now that's put on hold. There are still talks of, how we can improve the commute hours between, inner state and outer state of the Klang Valley as well. What are your take on the way that we've done the MRTs, the LRTs, and moving forward the different types of lines? What's your view on where we're going with the transportation sector?
I think in all cities, we do need a good public transport system, and the railway is probably the best way to bring people across the city and reduce the carbon footprint. And of course, ridership again is dependent on the number of stops, number of stations, and number of the connectivity. So, and if you look at a lot of countries, the growth can be exponential as the number of lines increase. Increasing one line doesn't mean you get, I add another line and that line, let's say, caters for 150,000 passengers. But overall, you could increase the entire passenger by 200,000-300,000 because of connectivity. So, of course, I would say public transport through railways is probably the best way to go. But the question, of course, is the affordability. Yeah. And but I think if we build it, if the government builds it affordable in the cost benefits was that's optimized, then I think it's definitely the right way to go. And I think that's what the government been trying to do now.
And there's more reliance now, I think, in also artificial intelligence or AI, especially with the driverless vehicles. I know, in the train side, we've been, driverless trains, like you mentioned, since the 80s in Canada. But now we're seeing also with some cars, not here in Malaysia, of course, but we're seeing it in some cars. How much reliant do you think we will be for the technology when it comes to the transportation sector?
Well, that's a far way to go, of course. But then, this is my own personal belief that, I think the biggest issue with ridership in railway is always the railway provides you the artery connection. But the last mile connection, which is from the station to your house, that's always the issue, right? So we are now trying to solve the issue with buses and all that. But I think the issue can be further solved with autonomous vehicles because then you have you can actually ferry more trips with less passenger and improve the convenience of timing for the passenger. So I think that's definitely the right way to go. But I think we are
still miles away.
A long way to go. They're still all on trial everywhere in the world.
What's your advice for those who are listening to this and, users of the public transport, also taxpayers for these kind of technology to be installed, the PIE system, for example? What's your message to them when they are using these kind of public transport?
I think what they need to be aware is, of course, everybody wants the best, right? But I think what we need to, as taxpayers, we need to be aware is what is the cost benefit of each line, each station, you know. I mean, do we, I mean, of course, if you want the best Hong Kong system, you pay for it. But then, how do we maintain it? How do we pay for the maintenance, you know? And is it affordable now or is it later, you know? Because I think Hong Kong MTR, Singapore MRT didn't get to where they are today overnight.
Mm.
It took them decades.
What is different about, you know, the Hong Kong MTRs and Singapore MRTs? For those who've never experienced it, where are we lacking behind when it comes to their system?
I think in terms of, let's say MRT, I think our system is as good as the Hong Kong one. Just the only difference is that we do not have so many lines. You know, Hong Kong is fully connected. So, of course, the ridership is really high. And, of course, as we know, there are car ownership in Hong Kong. I mean, not car, car ownership not expensive, but the parking is expensive. And there's, you know, all these charges the government imposes for private car owners. So naturally, people take the train. But, of course, you can't impose that until you have a fully developed transport system. Otherwise, it's not fair. Right, to have that as well. At the same time, you don't have a fully developed transport system, see. Mm. So in terms of technology-wise, I think our MRT is as good as Hong Kong. You know, we actually adopted a lot of their technology as well. But whether we are ready to pay for such costs is another question that I can't answer. Public has to answer for themselves.
Wah-Sing, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I've been speaking to Lian Wah-Sing. He's the CEO of Azti, talking about PIES, the Platform Intrusion Emergency Stop System. If you miss any parts of this show, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website, or better yet, get the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.